Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't think it's any secret that I love books, and I love to read, and I love to study. In fact, for 6 years, I got to read and study full-time when I was in seminary. Those of you who have been to my office know that one wall is covered in books. I don't really collect things, but I might say that I collect books. And I got to pull one off of the shelf this week and read back through it. And it's always kind of fun for me when I reread a book, because not only do I get to reread the content, but I get to see all the places that I've marked up and where I've made different notes. This book is called Eucharist and Eschatology. Now, you know that I love the sacraments, and this book looks specifically at the Eucharist, which is another word for Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, and it looks at it through the lens of eschatology, which is the study of end times or the study of end things. The future that God has for God's people and for creation, when Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead, and when our bodies will be resurrected and we will live in the presence of God forever. And so my sermon today is based on the first reading that we read from Isaiah. You know, we most often hear this passage read at funerals or memorial services, which I love, because I think it's a beautiful reminder that in the Lord's Supper that we share a feast with the entire communion of saints, and that when we celebrate Holy Communion, we feast with past, present, and future disciples of Christ. And I think it's also important that we hear these words at funerals, because it reminds us of the hope that someday, when human history as we know it comes to an end and Jesus returns, that he will set all things right. That when we experience that final resurrection of our bodies, God is going to gather all peoples from all nations to celebrate at the feast that's described here in Isaiah. Now, this feast that the Lord hosts for all peoples is no ordinary meal. Even the words that are used in Hebrew for the aged, strained wines and the bone marrow are really rare words used in Scripture. These items were very rare. Though the wine is probably something like what we drink today, it was back then more usually young wine, wine that hadn't sat for as long, and wine that wasn't strained, so there was probably debris from the process of making that wine in it. So an aged, strained wine is something rare and special. And as for bone marrow, your vegetarian pastor had to look this one up, but it's usually taken from the femur bone of an animal. And apparently it's exquisite. One person said it has far more flavor than even butter. So this exquisite kind of scrumptious meat to go along with the wine. And so this celebratory feast that God prepares and sets out for all people and all nations is lavish. It's exquisite. It's decadent. The text goes on to make it very clear that this feast is for all people, because God invites all people from all nations to eat the rich feast of choice wines and meats. And when we come to the Lord's table and share in the Lord's Supper, this for us is a foretaste of that final feast of all nations. But what's really interesting is that while the people are feasting on this meal, God is preparing to judge and to save. But God doesn't do that like any earthly host. God's self doesn't partake of the aged wine and the meat that God has offered to the guests. Instead, the Lord's mouth opens wide to swallow death itself. The Lord swallows up death. Now, to swallow something is to consume it completely. To swallow is to take something into one's own body. God takes death into God's very self and devours it, making possible an endless future for all of God's people without death. This end of death moves us to another metaphor or word picture in the text, one of deep compassion and gentleness. And the language of all appears yet again as the Lord God wipes away all the tears from all the people. These details remind us that death was present at this feast, that it will be present at this feast, but it is simply a dish set before the Lord. Death and suffering, heartache and pain were heavy on the heart of God's guests, who came with weeping and mourning, something that we ourselves as individuals are accustomed to, and something that we are seeing all over the news. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, that there is pain and heartbreak and evil beyond imagination in the world. The past 7 days alone, we've witnessed horror and brutality from the people of Hamas and what they've done to the Israelis. And then we've witnessed the genocide that this war is causing for innocent Palestinian civilians, men, women, and children of Gaza. It can be easy for despair to creep into our hearts and our minds and to feel the shroud that is cast over us and all people. The tension in this text, it reminds us of the tension of life. Because we aren't given any earthly means for overcoming all of the disasters and tragedies. But we are given a glimpse of a world in which death is swallowed up forever. And we're given a glimpse of a future when God will wipe away every single tear from all the faces. This is our highest hope. And sometimes we have to hold on to that hope so hard that our knuckles turn white. But we hold on to this hope, looking forward to that day when God, who is faithful beyond all we can ask for or imagine, when God will make all things right. We look forward to that day when, with justice and mercy, God will bring peace upon all the earth. And we look forward to that day when God will destroy death forever. And then, with the loving tenderness and compassion of a parent, God will wipe away every tear. But until that day, that this truth, that this hope is fully realized, we continue to come to this table and to share this meal, which for us is a foretaste of that feast to come. So hear these words once again, and let the hope of God fill your hearts and your minds and your bodies. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a rich feast of food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. And then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of God's people will be taken away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in God's salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen.